pick up the pace back there. What do you think this is? A newborn's trip to the damn mango swabs? Myers, put some muscle into those knife strokes. Levitsky, Baruga, keep trying to kick some life into that damn boxcaster. Emperor's teeth! It's come to something when you mama's boys can't finish off a bunch of damn half-mutant freaks. And in front of the general. Well, I don't care how long it takes. Not a one of you is slacking off for a single damn second till we're back behind our lines. I promised you today was going to be a cakewalk, and the man who makes a liar out of old Iron Hand Strachan, I will throttle with his own entrails! What? What am I looking at here? Where the hell did this come from? Without warning, we had come to a clearing, at least half a kilometer wide. The jungle canopy opened right up, and I was dazzled by the last rays of the setting sun. The air was suddenly cool and fresh, scented with blossom. And, squinting against the light, I could make out dark, unnatural shapes. Buildings. Dark-timbered wooden huts. My first thought was that we'd found an enemy bolt hole. But these huts were sturdy and well-kept, arranged around a larger central hall. Our enemies could never have built anything so orderly. Besides, if the taint of the ruinous powers had been there, I'd have damn well smelt it. Why, then, was my gut warning me of something rotten about this place? And why the hell didn't I listen to it? A figure approached us from between the huts. A boy, barely into his teenage years, but with the blood-red light behind him, I couldn't make out much more than that. Of course, my men reacted as they had been trained to do. But the boy didn't seem at all worried by the sight of 30 lasgun muzzles pointed at his heart. He padded closer. As the sun disappeared, and the clearing was washed in the faint blue light of a swollen moon, I could make out the boy's face, round and gentle, his eyes bright and wide. His skin was sun-bronzed to perfection, and the moonlight made his bald head shine like a halo. He was wearing a simple white robe, ornamented by a garland of flowers. "Welcome." The boy cocked his head a little, his full lips pursed as if he found the sight of 30 bloodied vets on his doorstep somehow amusing.
"Welcome to Safe Haven. I am Cadence Moonglow, and all that my people have, we offer to share with you."
"So you say, kid. But before we break out the damned peace pipe, I got a few questions for you." General Farris stepped forward with a diplomatic clearing of his throat. It was the first time I'd heard his voice all day.
"What Colonel Strachan means to say is that we weren't aware of any settlement in this area.
And seeing as how in 2 months here, we haven't found a single damned life form that hasn't tried to eviscerate us."
"I assure you that nobody in this village would wish to harm another being. We have learned to live in balance with even this harsh environment. As for your enemies, yes, they were a part of our commune once, but no longer. They have been cast out of this place."
Sounded like bull to my ears. But General Farris motioned to the men to lower their guns, and, with a few uncertain glances at me, they obeyed. Farris introduced himself and the rest of us to this Cadence Moonglow and accepted his offer of hospitality. "Now hold on a minute, sir. I told the men I'd get us back to the camp tonight. Nothing has changed. We could still..." Farris shook his head firmly.
"The men are tired, Strachan.
And some of them need proper medical attention. You think they've got a damned hospital tent set up here?"
"We will do what we can for your wounded. We have balms and tinctures, and most importantly, our faith in the healing spirits."
Yeah, I thought. Because a few herbal potions and a bit of wailing to the skies, that was going to sew Trooper Thorne's damned hand right back on.
"We'll keep the men in better shape by letting them rest, rather than forced marching them overnight through the jungle."
I wondered if he was really talking about the men or about himself. Farris had taken a scratch in the fighting today. His left arm was held in a makeshift sling. He kept up with the rest of us so far and hadn't whined about it, but I'd been watching him sweating and stumbling for some time now,
waiting for him to drop. Either way, I couldn't fault his logic, even if he hadn't been my superior officer. So, taking my silence as a sign of assent, the general asked Cadence to lead the way forward, and ordered my men to follow.